Influencers is brought to you by
7Seas. Start your day the right way. Soya Studios, located in the Flowers Plaza, Carmichael Road West. Carib Construction. Real-Time Sound Studios. And Global Transformation Media, transforming you from the inside out. Welcome to Influencers on Guardian Talk Radio, 96.9 FM, and I am your host, Lady Shima. And on this radio show, we take you into the world of leaders within Bahamian society and the global community to give you insight on how they use their influence to bring about positive change. We provide this platform for influencers to inspire our listeners with their personal stories on how they maneuver and strategize to still be impactful and influential even in this new norm environment post-COVID-19. It is our hope that the stories and insights of the influencers we bring to you will inspire you to use the power of your influence to bring transformational change to your immediate environment, Bahamian society, and for some, even across international divides. And today we take you into the mind of an acclaimed former educator. He is a former communications consultant of AT&T, a telecommunications giant in the United States of America. He is an established and noted broadcaster of over four decades. And he's used his impact and influence on the airwaves to encourage societal growth and advancement. I speak of none other than the Honorable Jeffrey Lloyd, Minister of Education, Science and Technology. Today, we discuss the current state and evolving future of education in the Bahamas. All this and more when we return here on Influencers on Guardian Talk Radio, 96.9 FM. Need your picture taken? Well, if you want it to look its best, then go to the best. It's Soya Studios, capturing your special events, portraits, passport, job, and visa photos. Plus, there's more. Also offering professional printing services of business cards, letterheads, signs, and banners. Opened Monday to Saturday, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's a legacy. 28 years and growing. Located in the Flowers Plaza, Carmichael Road. Call 361-7786.
Start your day the right way. 7Seas.
Start your day the right way. Trust in the timeless tradition of 7Seas cod liver oil. 7Seas cod liver oil is a rich natural source of omega-3, giving you the essential nutrients needed to promote good health and help make sure you're looking and feeling your very best. Whether it's one a day, high strength, or traditional, with 7Seas cod liver oil, you start your day the right way.
Start your day the right way with 7Seas.
At Carib Construction and Project Management, we do three things. We give you exactly what you want at the best possible price while building at the best construction standards in the industry. So when making that big investment in building a home, apartment, or commercial complex, trust our over 20 years of professional experience in architectural drawing, design, and electrical. We even offer complete packages with property and construction included. See our impressive portfolio at caribconstruction.com or call us at 341-4 4466. Welcome back to Influencers, and I'm your host, Lady Shima. And with me today is the Honorable Jeffrey Lloyd, Minister of Education, Science, and Technology. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
It's really awesome to have you in my company today. I've been looking forward to this conversation for quite a bit. And off air, I said to you that you are my first guest for the hour-long show.
Yes,
and
it's
so
an honor.
Today is a first.
I'm privileged, and thank you very much.
Thank you. And of course, with the show, we like to start off on the lighter side of things. And I like to take the listeners into those experiences of the influencer to find out about the influencers of the influencer. And so you have quite an impressive bio I was reading through just a few minutes ago. And who would you say would be those top two influencers in your life as it relates to your belief systems, and also as it relates to your whole journey through broadcasting, and now as a parliamentarian?
My grandmother, Nita Lloyd, born and raised in Roses, Long Island, and who I am advised by my mother, came to Nassau when I was only 2 months old and took me back to Long Island to raise and eventually returned to New Providence, and we were back and forth for a while. My grandmother.
Yes.
Who raised me. And then secondly, I would say that Mr. Dawson Conliffe, who was the late Dawson Conliffe, former headmaster of then Eastern Junior School, later Palmdale Primary. Obviously, there are many, many who have made a phenomenally shattering impact in my life. Certainly my parents, Eltoy Taylor, Stanford Lloyd. But I was raised by my grandmother, Leda Lloyd. And again, Dawson Conliff, significant influence in my life.
Awesome, awesome. What do you think about the necessity of having those positive forces of influence in the life of young people, you know, as those formative years and being reared and, you know, becoming quite the prolific and noted broadcaster that you are today, parliamentarian, minister of education, science and technology. But there are so many young persons who are void of this in their lives, and it speaks, I believe.
Well, it's obviously indispensable. We are imitative beings, meaning human beings, imitate. Mm-hmm. We learn what we live. I think there are three subdivisions of humanity in a person's personal life. There is obviously nature.
Yes, sir.
There is nurture. Mm-hmm. And then there's your own personal commitment, development, dedication, so on, decisions. Mm-hmm. And that nurturing is the element of mentorship and cosmic validation that I call it. You know, Jesus was the beneficiary of a validation by his father.
Yes, yes.
Who immediately coming out of the water, and John baptized him, heard a voice which proclaimed, "You are my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." It is indispensable. As a matter of fact, constitutive to human, effective and proper human development, that we are validated. We are affirmed to be wonderful, beautiful, graced, blessed, talented, gifted, and provided the opportunities to manifest and reveal those.
Yes. Do you think that you would ever actually return to the airwaves? I really enjoyed listening to you.
I expect that I would. Obviously, I'm in God's hands, and my life has always been. I surrender, submit to His holy and divine will.
Yes, yes,
and
yes.
And so everything is orchestrated and ordained and ordered by Him. But yes, if the opportunity arises, whenever, you know, this particular chapter of my life should end,
yes,
and that's a possibility, certainly.
Awesome answer. And with that said, now, of course, we're here today to talk about the topic that I provided for you, and that is the current state and evolving future of education in the Bahamas. If anyone were to ask you, and I'm about to ask you that question, and it is, what is the current state of education in the Bahamas? What would you say, Minister?
It's an evolving process. We are ascending to an exalted status of educational achievement that satisfies the aspirations of our Bahamian students. And I don't wish to confine students to just those that are captured in the Educational Act between the years 5 and 16, but all of us are students.
Yes, yes.
We are signatories to the United Nations Sustainable Development Goal, which specifically, 17 of which, but specifically number 4 speaks to education, and it speaks to the inclusive and equitable learning opportunities for education, but lifelong learning. So we are all students. We are all encouraged to remain students.
Yes, yes.
And our system is designed and should be designed to respond to the aspirations, desires, interests of students, whatever they happen to be, and or their parents. So we are in a state of evolution. Upon coming to office, I recognize certain areas of growth potential, and we seized upon them, and I think I'm making some progress. There's a long way to go, obviously. I've said from the very beginning that education is everyone's business.
It is.
It doesn't reside exclusively in the portfolio of the ministry or the government or civil society, but everybody. And if there is to be beneficial outcomes for our students and the society, then everybody has to do their part.
Well, of course, today, as we're talking about education, we're talking about that dimension of education that has to do with the academic educational process and experience of our young people, students from the ages of 5 to 16 thereabouts. Because, you know, sometimes they start younger, sometimes they end just a little bit older, depending on situations and circumstances. So with that said, let's start on a hot topic. I had the wonderful privilege of having a very, very brief interview with you some days ago concerning your comments in describing the BGCSE and the BJC as successful, those national examinations. And of course, that was very much the hot topic from that day forward for several days. And persons adding their own commentary, interpretations, and opinions concerning your word choice, and that was successful. I want you to tap on that a little bit again for us, please, because I really would like to use that as a piggyback point for the next few minutes during the course of this conversation.
I am seized with an optimistic outlook on life. I have always seen the glass half full and not half empty.
Yes.
I have been all my life in the human development business because I have an indefatigable hope and commitment to the advancement of human beings. I believe that all souls can be redeemed, no matter how irredeemable at any given point they may be. And I look at where people have traveled from. I look at an individual, for instance, who has been in a traumatic accident, has possibly had very, very serious injuries, and on day one is fighting for his or her life. And about day 25, after having come out of a coma, 15 or so surgeries, that individual is now beginning to walk and talk and to respond to his family, her family. I think that's remarkable success. Is he able to return to the football field, the basketball court, the tennis court? Can he continue to swim? By no means. It is a long shot away. He still has a lot of work to do, but he is on his way and he has made remarkable progress. In a pandemic, coming on the heels of a Dorian, we had a situation where our students' educational experience was disrupted, as simple as that. And we had to delay and postpone the sitting of their exit exams, BJC, BGCSE, which didn't get on track until July of last year, 2020, when it should have begun in the third week of March the last year.
Okay.
In spite of that difficulty and challenge, many setbacks, schools not meeting in person, we have to go to a virtual school. Children have to fend for themselves in many instances. Parents now are disrupted because of whatever, unemployment and so forth. We had successes, improvements in 15 of the 27 BGCSE subjects.
Okay.
55% of the subjects in the BGCSE program, in spite of a pandemic that followed a Dorian, and we are seeing a 55% of that, so those subjects showing an increase, when in ordinary years you don't see that. Then in the BJC, there are six subjects that showed an increase, when in ordinary years you don't necessarily see that. When English and maths do not show any deprivation or discount as a result, and you are saying to me in that context, those students who would have fought through 10,000 plus in the BJC, 6,000 plus in the BGCSE, just some 5 to 15% off of the usual attendance and registration of students attending those exams, and that would not be successful. Well, if it isn't, there others' definition of success and mine simply do not correspond. And when I shall not be shaken. I am unmoved by the naysayers, the critics, in my mind, and I am joined by the education establishment, the former education establishment, the director, the permanent secretary, and all in the testing and evaluation unit. We are very pleased with the performance of our students who have done remarkably well. I am also most moved and touched by the many comments I have received, written and oral, from parents, guardians, and students who have thanked me for giving a permission for those exams to be held.
Now, you said in contrast to the ordinary, in other words, the usual kind of results that we would have been seeing here in the Bahamas as it relates to the exit exams, the BJC and the BGCSEs. Minister, you've been the Minister of Education now since 2017, and what was or is that ordinary standard that we are accustomed to seeing as it relates to the results? Is it not, has it not been a D average to which you are referring to when you say the ordinary results?
Well, I am speaking about several matters. Firstly, let me say that, again, there is an obvious misunderstanding or a mischievous application of a paradigm which no longer exists. In my day, coming out of St. Augustine's,
a mischievous application by who, Minister?
Well, those either who know better and choose, obviously, not to avail themselves of the enlightened understanding that is possible mm-hmm. and that is available. But when I came out of St. Augustine's, I sat the GCE. The GCE had a 5-point grading scale, A, B, C, D, F.
Mm-hmm.
The medium grade for the average student was a C.
A C. Mm-hmm.
And most students got that C.
Mm-hmm.
Today, in the BGCSE, the median grade is a D because it's a 7-point scale.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I understand that there are many thousands of souls who still ascribe to that metric, that standard of D being what it was in the GCE, which was poor but passing, essentially a failing grade. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But I have invited them, both on my talk shows and elsewhere, certainly now as the Minister of Education.
Yes, sir.
Please disabuse yourself of that understanding. You are not dealing with apples anymore. It is now oranges. Do not subscribe to the continuing paradigm that a D is in this circumstance what a D was in the GCE.
All right, so Minister, why don't you just take this opportunity then to explain to the listeners what a D is. For the sake and the cause of this conversation, because that's what we're talking about today. What is a D today in the Bahamas, according to the Ministry of Education, as it relates to the exit examinations?
A D reflects that the student who receives one has achieved a satisfactory performance in the execution of his or her exam. That's a D. A D, an E, is a less than satisfactory. An F is just that.
An F is literally a failing grade.
Yes. So if a D is satisfactory, then what is the argument?
So I believe that
I struggle and I've mm-hmm. invited the media personnel, I've invited talk show host
mm-hmm.
to get the legend. We've makes it available every year.
Mm-hmm.
Get the legend, read the legend, understand the metric. Mm-hmm. What does A mean? What does B mean? And so on. What does D mean?
Mm-hmm.
And see that D reflects a student who understands the matter, regurgitates that matter to a satisfactory standard. And that's mm-hmm. all that you're asking of your students. Of course, we would like all of our students, if possible, to get A's or B's or whatever grade. Naturally, we don't want our students mm-hmm. to fail. Naturally. But okay. if a student performs satisfactorily,
mm-hmm.
what more are you asking? And then further, why are you continuing to discount and to shame and to even further challenge the integrity of that exam and that student's performance by relegating to them a standard which no longer exists? The GCE does not exist. Mm-hmm. The D of the GCE does not
exist. So this is an unfair assessment when you look at the actual scale that is being used today by the Ministry of Education. The D is indeed satisfactory, as we would have seen the C, the GCE with the 5-point scale.
Yes, ma'am, and has been for 27 years.
And if it has been for 27 years, then it's just been this mischievous application that you've been talking about then, sir?
In some instances, it is mischievous because some of those critics are persons to whom I...
Or genuine again, ignorance, I might even say.
It could be that, but these are persons who are, you know, decrying the results, who are members sometimes of or former members of the educational establishment and under and who would have participated under this BGCSE regime. So either they never knew what the legend or cared to understand what it is, mm-hmm. or no better, but for, I guess, salacious purposes,
mm-hmm.
decides that they want to, you know, inaugurate another kind of discussion in the public domain. I don't know.
Minister, isn't it so that the last set of exit examinations, the ones of which we now speak, isn't it so that they were marked on a curve with a specific consideration given to the virtual environment in which we now exist? That was not a decision that was made by officials in the Ministry of Education, that it was going to be marked on a curve?
Every year the exams are marked in the exact same format and fashion.
So there was no curve given to the consideration of the virtual environment. That did not happen for the 2020 exit
because
examinations.
Because if you make any, you have to understand that the BGCSE exams, like in any other country, the CXE exams, the IGCSE exams, all must conform to the very rigid and rigorous standards of Cambridge assessors. And they are not going to validate an exam unless it meets those standards. And it met those standards.
Okay.
In fact, it exceeded those standards.
Okay. Well, so I have been, and I currently am, an educator in the private school sector. And I can say that information was brought down to me, as a teacher, that Ms. Poirier, this particular year, this particular time, due to the environment that we now exist, and also due to the challenges as a result of the environment that we now exist, that the exams will be marked on a curve. So I was misinformed then, Minister.
I may be misinformed. It is not my understanding that what your understanding is, so I shall
not my understanding, what was said to me. This has nothing to do with my understanding.
Well, as I say, that which was directed to you, it is not my understanding of that which you have just stated.
All right. I just wanted to make that clear because, I really want the comments that are being made and that were made for them to be, assessed fairly, because if this curve did indeed exist and it did happen, then we would need to add a new dimension now to this conversation. But you just made it clear to me and the listeners of the show that indeed did not happen this go around for those reasons. Okay. Well, as the Minister of Education, what are some of the best practices that you deem effective and maybe even you've incorporated when it comes to your oversight and leadership of the Ministry of Education? And I'm speaking specifically as it relates to the kindergarten experience straight throughout to grade 12.
Well, we are happy right now that there were five objectives that were stated and established at the beginning of our administration. Firstly, we wanted to digitize the system, and we are well on our way to doing so. I'm very happy about that.
Mm-hmm.
And thank God we were able to achieve that to some, I think, respectable degree of success, because had it not been so, we would have really been in trouble come Dorian, and even worse come the pandemic, which is what led to our virtual school being launched in September of 2019.
Yes, sir.
Very proud of that. It's a great practice, and it's going to be, I think, the vehicle which will engender or engineer the real transformation of education going forward. Secondly, we instituted a rigorous curriculum reform, the principal beneficiaries of which would be those in the younger years, primarily because now those subject areas have been lessened to focus more specifically on foundational subject areas such as literacy, numeracy, socialization skills, and so on. We also realize that in this new dispensation, our teachers not only have to be properly trained, but have to continuously be trained. So there was continuous emphasis. And we're very happy with the practice now that has been established where our teachers now can access a robust menu of professional development courses, which they are taking advantage of, I'm proud to say, doing very, very well. We further wanted to ensure that there is a respect given to the technical and vocational education enterprise, which previous to now was one that, again, had been discounted and had been relegated to inferior standard level of a choice by students. That is no longer the case. I am very happy to indicate that. Mm-hmm. And also further, we wanted to make accessible our educational, tertiary educational system to as many Bahamian students as possible. That's why in 2018, we instituted free tuition at both BTVI and University of the Bahamas for all qualified Bahamian students. And I can tell you that...
What was the criteria for the qualified Bahamian students?
Once you accept it.
Okay.
Once you accept it into the institutions full-time, mm-hmm. once you accept it, you qualify for the free tuition.
Okay.
And you know, we are now on the way with the installation soon of the educational management system, information system rather, mm-hmm. to knowing precisely where we are in our educational process and what needs to be done in a timely fashion, in real time. When I entered the ministry in 2017, it was 95% manual.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what deficiencies and delays and challenges that would have imposed and did impose. And it was brought manifestly, abundantly clear during Dorian, when we could not put our hands immediately upon the number of students in Abaco and Grand Bahama. How many students do we have in Abaco? How many do we have in Grand Bahama? How many are in this school? How mm-hmm. many in that school? How many teachers? How many staff members? Could not do it
mm-hmm.
because the system was manual.
Do you have more specifics now on those numbers?
Well, we have now the capability of knowing in real time. But a click of a mouse, the minister, the director, the permanent secretary, and our executive team can know instantly, precisely mm-hmm. what is going on in a particular school.
As of when? What it is that you're describing right now?
That is in the process of implementation.
Okay.
The process began at the beginning of this year, January 4th. Mm-hmm. As you know, systems of this nature takes a little while to roll out. Mm-hmm. We have to work out the bugs, and then, of course, it is perfected. We have to have all of our partakers, participants, operators, trained. I'm talking about teachers and educators.
Yes, sir.
Trained on that process. That is now such that a principal can know precisely what is being taught in a mm-hmm. particular class, which students are attending, and mm-hmm. so on and so forth. Parents can know now mm-hmm. whether Lady Shima attended the English class today. Did she come to school? Mm-hmm. What were the grades? What homework? What comments? All of that now mm-hmm. is being implemented as we speak.
Well, Minister, that's very commendable, I must say, because, you know, the educational institution where I teach now, we're able to do that as we speak. And so most definitely there is technology that lends itself to what it is that you just described, and it's most definitely needed, especially in our public school sector. You just brought about several points as it relates to certain pillars that you believe and that you say have been, I don't know, I'm going to ask the question now whether or not they have been created, but I was going to say further reinforced, okay, under your leadership and oversight. You spoke about curriculum reform as it relates to, I believe, the kindergarten level.
Well, throughout the system, not
throughout
just
the entire system.
But it is the immediate benefit comes to those students in the preschool and the primary school.
In the preschool and the primary school, okay. You spoke about the virtual learning platform, the ongoing training for teachers, the vocational and educational aspect, and also the tertiary level with since 2018, talking about the free tuition for BTVI, University of the Bahamas, all very commendable.
I wish to also add, if I don't mind,
okay.
I wish to add that we also committed, because of the necessity of ensuring proper and effective foundation, that there would be universal preschool education by year 2025. To that end, we committed to enabling suitably qualified private preschools to assist the Ministry of Education in enrolling and educating 3 and 4 year olds. We began mm-hmm. in 2018 mm-hmm. with 1,700 students enrolled in the preschool, government-approved, government-operated preschool program.
Mm-hmm.
Today, in 2021, January, we mm-hmm. are well over 5,000 mm-hmm. such preschools.
Wow, 5,000.
Yes.
Why do you believe it was absolutely necessary for the government to put, you know, its hand into this particular sector of the educational journey and experience?
I was impressed, and to some extent, I was quite surprised in reading The Early Years, a publication by the Inter-American Development Bank, and I did further studies which showed that students who failed to receive proper foundation in the 3 to 4 year old age group suffer interminable educational damage throughout their schooling years.
That is true,
and
sir.
It was proven such that it was shown in our circumstance here, anecdotally at the very least, that nearly 50% of the students that entered grade one were not ready for grade one. Certainly, if you're not ready for grade one,
then
you're not
going to
be not ready for grade four, grade seven, and so on.
It's going to impact the rest of the educational journey.
And it has been shown that students who've had the benefit of preschool education do far better on all levels of their lives, even emotionally and otherwise, than those who did not. And so it was the wisest investment, I believe, for the Bahamian people and the government of the Bahamas to invest in making sure that every 3 and 4 year old, and the census of 2010 indicated there were some 12,000, and there's no reason for us to believe it is much less. And if you're only tapping into 1,700 of the 12,000, take away whatever that is being done by the private preschools. If you want to multiply it three times, you're still talking about 6,000 to 7,000 3 to 4 year olds who are not benefiting from a proper academic foundation. This is serious, serious, serious.
It is very serious, and I believe that it also speaks to the economic conditions in which we now live. Because, of course, if a parent, if a guardian, if they are able to financially afford their child this opportunity, they would do so. And by and large, the majority of them, simply because of economic or financial shortage and challenges, and this is the reason fundamentally why we're seeing what it is that we're seeing. Do you agree or disagree with that, Minister?
I'm not sure I can agree. I think that this deficit or defect in our application to the resources of application for our younger children now is not just a new thing. It isn't, you know, it didn't come about as
neither
a result
economic
of the
challenge.
It didn't come about as a result of the pandemic. I just simply believe that it was an oversight by the educational establishment, did not realize how important it was and how critical a priority it ought to be. I came in and made it a priority. We will make sure that every child, 3 and 4 year olds, in this Commonwealth of the Bahamas, at least has access to a quality.
You made it a priority.
Make it a priority.
You made it a priority, you said, Minister.
That is the administration that we brought to the Bahamian people. Priority, and it states so in the FNM manifesto, a priority that there will be universal preschool education in this country. And we have established in the Ministry of Education by the year 2025, universal. That means every child, 3, 4 year olds, has access to quality preschool education, every child. And where the government does not have its own facilities, then it partners with contracts. Again, as I say, suitably qualified and suitably qualified, the correct
That's
term,
criteria, I'm sure.
The suitably qualified preschool institutions, and there are many preschool institutions, and they have done a remarkable job.
I don't believe, by and large, Minister, that there's a large grouping of persons who do not understand the value, the necessity, the worth of those early learning years. I would reiterate and reemphasize that I believe that there is a direct correlation between the economic circumstance of lots of parents and guardians as it relates to why they were not able to afford their children that opportunity. And but so, you know, this is a good thing that the government is doing, that you all are doing. Because now you have just stated, as a result of some reading and looking at the statistics and looking at the data or looking at the research and seeing the impact that that it's having. And so I'm expecting now to see a marked improvement in the results straight across the board as a result of this, I would say, a strengthening of the foundation and the base of the educational experience here in the Bahamas. And I want to commend you on that point, because I really do agree with that insight and with the rollout of that particular program and intent. All right, so we're going to take a break right here, right now. You're listening into Influencers here on Guardian Talk Radio, 96.9 FM. I am your host, Lady Shima, and with me today, Influencer, Minister of Education, Science and Technology, the Honorable Jeffrey Lloyd. We will come back with more after these words. Need your picture taken? Well, if you want it to look its best, then go to the best. It's Soya Studios, capturing your special events, portraits, passport, job, and visa photos. Plus, there's more. Also offering professional printing services of business cards, letterheads, signs, and banners. Opened Monday to Saturday, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's a legacy. 28 years and growing. Located in the Flowers Plaza, Carmichael Road. Call 361-7786.
Start your day the right way. Seven Seas.
Start your day the right way. Trust in the timeless tradition of Seven Seas Cod Liver Oil. Seven Seas Cod Liver Oil is a rich, natural source of omega-3, giving you the essential nutrients needed to promote good health and help make sure you're looking and feeling your very best. Whether it's one a day, high strength, or traditional, with Seven Seas Cod Liver Oil, you start your day the right way.
Start your day the right way with Seven Seas.
Welcome back to Influencers on Guardian Talk Radio, 96.9 FM. I am your host, Lady Shima. And the influencer with me in studio today is the one and only the Minister of Education, Science and Technology, the Honorable Jeffrey Lloyd. And today we are discussing the current state and evolving future of education in the Bahamas. And we left off on a very, very interesting note there, Minister, talking about the curriculum reform as it relates to the early years educational process and journey. And we were talking about the importance of that foundation being laid. And let's talk right now a bit about the importance of momentum that's built and derived from continuity. Do you feel that there were worthy and effective strategies, practices, and or programs left in place at the Ministry of Education by the PLP that should have been continued and are indeed being continued under your leadership, or were they cut?
I am the beneficiary, and this administration is the beneficiary of all that has gone ahead, all of it. For instance, it was under the previous administrations that we decided that there needed to be a uniform standard for all students who wish to have a high school diploma in this country, that we wanted to ensure that an A in school A is an A in school C is an A in school G. Mm-hmm. We wanted to ensure that there are certain requirements, standards, criteria that mm-hmm. must be met by what we would describe or affirm to be a graduate, high school graduate in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
It was under a previous administration that that was established, and today we have the Bahamas High School Diploma, to mm-hmm. which all students must subscribe. They have to have certain credit hours, they have to have certain community hours, they have to have certain work experience, mm-hmm. they have to have certain BJCs and so on and so forth.
Yes, sir.
So we are today working with that.
Mm-hmm.
There was a preschool unit, and that unit, of course, laid a certain foundation upon which we are building. There was a homeschool unit when we came to office in 2017. That homeschool unit was mm-hmm. vivacious and was exercising a certain vitality, ensuring that all students who sought to be trained, taught at home by their parents or whomever their parents chose,
yes,
would
sir.
Be properly registered. But we also emphasized and provided more resources such that today there are some 2,500 mm-hmm. students who are enrolled in the preschool.
Mm-hmm.
We already had a rather interesting curriculum established at the Bahamas Technical and Vocational Institute. We just simply augmented
okay.
and greater emphasis was made. So, yes, mm-hmm. there was a certain momentum. And it's really, you know, as a minister said previously, and I give him credit,
yes,
Minister Pintard,
mm-hmm.
we are only relay runners.
Mm-hmm.
We take the baton. We make our circumstance better.
Good.
That's our job to cultivate.
Good.
And we hand that on to another runner, as mm-hmm. it were.
Do you believe that is your personal outlook, Minister? Or
oh,
is
absolutely.
That the outlook of the entire FNM entourage and party?
That is our outlook. Mm-hmm. Our job is to take what is here.
As the Free National
make
Movement.
Make it better.
Mm-hmm.
Do more than what has been done previously. Make it better and then hand that on to the next administration, whomever it shall mm-hmm. be. And their job is to make it better
mm-hmm.
so that one day we will get to the standard that the Bahamian people of which can be extraordinarily proud
yes,
and
mm-hmm.
which they will be real true beneficiaries of.
What's going on with the Public Scholars Program that was implemented, mm-hmm. started by Jerome Fitzgerald, the former Minister of Education?
Isn't it a remarkable achievement that we now are seeing? That Scholars Program, when I came to office, had something like about 60 students enrolled, and today there is now 170 students enrolled in the Public Scholars Program. I don't remember the numbers, but there has been a significant increase through the great and genius work of Mrs. Monique Hinsey,
mm-hmm.
and getting more universities
mm-hmm.
To partner with us in that Public Scholars Program, mm-hmm. and I have met quite a number of them. That's a program.
So it is still ongoing. So the former minister, who I'm not saying of education now, but a former minister who would have informed me of this particular program no longer being in existence, no longer benefiting the Bahamian youth, he would be in error.
Well, I am not going to say what he will be in, but you are a woman of inveterate digosity. Come and check for yourself.
Let me ask you this question. Do you feel that teachers, more specifically those within the public school sector, are valued, yes or no, and why?
Because they are essential to the
delivery. Are they valued, yes or no, and then why?
They are essential to the delivery of education in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas and any educational system. They are our most precious resource.
Mm-hmm.
More than just valued. They are our most precious resource,
mm-hmm.
because without them, there is no education. There mm-hmm. is none. And let's go back to the beginning of this particular discussion when we talked about exam results. Why do you think, in addition to the student and his or her parent, that we have had such remarkable success were it not for the dedication of our teachers and the professional qualities of our teachers?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think that there is today a 35% increase in the graduation rate than when I came to office in 2017? But because of the quality of our teachers and the quality of our teaching
mm-hmm.
in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
There's been a 35% increase graduation rate, you said?
Yes, ma'am.
Since 2017?
Yes, ma'am.
Wow. But continue, sir. That's amazing.
But this is my point. I mean, this is what the responsibility of the media is to be investigating.
Mm-hmm.
It's because of our teachers. I have gone on school campuses on Saturdays and Sundays and find teachers on campus doing work and tutoring students. I know now in this virtual experience where teachers now continue to tutor not only the students but their parents who mm-hmm. need assistance.
Yeah, this is so.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And who are these people? These are our teachers. These are ones who themselves may have been challenged with technical capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
Teachers who have themselves not working in the most ideal of circumstances.
Definitely.
Most treasured
mm-hmm.
resource we have.
Mm-hmm.
I pay highest respect. Never forget that I am a teacher.
Well, I asked you that question, sir, because of what seems to be a rather constant and consistent bucking of heads when it comes to the Bahamas Union of Teachers and, I would say, your office and seat title, sir. They often claim, you know, that they seem to feel, not they seem, but that they feel undervalued, that they are somewhat not understood, that they are definitely under-resourced, and constantly in a state of frustration. And so if this is the case, and you're here now talking about, you know, giving commendation to the teachers and how valuable they are to the whole journey and educational process of our young people and also, of course, adults even.
Well, Lady Shima, I don't know who you speak of. I don't want to place conjecture as to who you speak
Please
of.
Please don't.
But I have had no.
I'm not speaking about one person in particular. Let me just put that in there, Minister. Go ahead.
I have had no representation made to me by teachers. I'm not talking about an official voice of teachers. I'm not talking about some advocate for teachers. I have not had teachers represent to me that they feel undervalued or underappreciated. As in any other profession, persons would have issues.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that teaching or medicine or mm-hmm. law, I'm a lawyer, would be debarred
mm-hmm.
from or be excluded from having what you might call issues. As Barack Obama once said, we are not a perfect union,
mm-hmm.
but we are being perfected. We mm-hmm. are not a perfect profession. We don't have a perfect ministry of education.
Of course not.
But we are being perfected. Mm-hmm. And that means that we address those issues, sometimes satisfactorily, sometimes in a timely manner, but we are addressing those issues. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it would be disingenuous. In fact, it would be patently dishonest for me to suggest to you or to indicate mm-hmm. that there are not issues, that there are not issues of under-resourced, that there are not issues of less than ideal circumstances, learning environments in the Ministry of Education. We have quite a number of our school buildings that were built for a 20-year lifespan of now going on 46 years.
Mm-hmm.
There are many schools there that have to be patched up on a consistent and a regular basis. I told you just recently about the fact that when I came to office, there was a manual system. This is mm-hmm. very much an effect on teachers and educational administrators and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we have represented those issues, but to suggest that the minister mm-hmm. or the Ministry of Education in some way transmits an undervalue to mm-hmm. the teachers of our system, I would suggest to you is incorrect. Now, does that mean that there may not be an advocate or the advocacy of those teachers that you, as you describe it, may not in those terms you describe be bucking heads? I presume that there may be. I sought and seek not the buckhead, but nobody. I have come.
I'm sure.
I've always been a team player. But we are going to be team players on certain basic elements of respect
mm-hmm.
and honor and an acknowledgement mm-hmm. of everybody's right to participate at this table.
You see yourself as a team player with all of the members of the Bahamas Union of Teachers.
Everybody.
And their officials.
Everybody. Everybody.
And you always seek to make yourself available.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
At their beck and call. Everybody. When it is that they need to meet
anybody
with you.
Anybody wants to meet with
to
me at any time. At any time. Anytime they want to meet with me, they are available.
With no problems, no delay, no closed doors.
Wait. I am not sitting at my desk or in my house just waiting for an invitation by the Bahamas Union of Teachers.
And no one ever suggested, sir.
For a meeting. I have many thousands of things to do. Okay?
I'm sure.
I'm not sitting down waiting for a meeting with the Bahamas Union of Teachers or the Bahamas Educators Manage Union.
Mm-hmm.
If a request is made of Jeffrey Lloyd, then that individual or those individuals, once an agreement is made with respect to time and so forth, they are more than happily engaged by me and have been since I have been the Minister of Education, only on the basis of respect, honor, and dignity.
Okay.
If anything else is suggested, then there shall not be any meeting because I come to the table with respect, honor, and dignity.
As it relates to your definition of respect, honor, and dignity, sir?
Well, whose other definition shall it be?
But yours as the minister, of course.
But whose other definition should it be? I mean, whose other definition should...
Okay.
To whose other definition should I subscribe?
Well, you know, Minister, I just had to ask you that question, you know, because especially you, of course, you've been an educator for many years.
Mm.
I've been an educator for a number of years. And, you know, we often talk about the plight of teachers in this society and, you know, parliamentarians, doctors, lawyers, you know, attorneys, et cetera, surgeons. They have all sat in the seat, okay, and they chair a desk in a classroom, and they have now become a productive citizen of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas as a result of the passion, and I would even go so far as to say the slave drive sometimes of hard-bent teachers. And I see that there is still this overwhelming cry, hear us, help us, help us. But you say that you are there for every beck and call as long as there is respect and honor.
And dignity.
And dignity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we have that trinity going there. I just want to ask you about this as we make haste towards the end of our show today. It's been such an enlightening conversation. I thank you for that, Minister.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Mintz, a veteran and very highly regarded educator. He's been an educator in the Bahamas and in the United States since 1980. He wrote an open letter to you as the Minister of Education, Science, and Technology. And I just want to read a very, very brief excerpt from what it is that he wrote here. And he said that learning how to become functionally literate in the three R's. Here, all students must be equipped to say, read the equivalent of a well-crafted newspaper article, and if they so choose, write a letter to the editor or an opinion piece. They must be able to complete an application form and, of course, graduate from high school with a real graduation certificate, not a leaving one. Know how to think, analyze, evaluate. And he closed by saying, and of course, I'm just reading little short excerpts here. Ideally, open quote, our citizens, even the non-scientific ones, must be equipped to make observations, ask questions, and identify problems, conduct research, come up with a preliminary explanation, as in hypothesize, experiment, test hypotheses, draw conclusions, share results. And it is the opinion by many, even educators here, in our country, and we see it, you know, when they graduate from high school, what it is that lots of employers are continuing to complain that they are being faced with, and that's having 12th graders graduate and not even be able to fill out an application form. What would you say, sir, that you, the Honorable Geoffrey Lloyd, Minister of Education, that you have done since 2017, specifically as it relates to this case in point, to improve this particular circumstance and situation?
I've given you some indication of what has transpired under my
watch. Specifically with those graduates, the 12th graders.
Yeah, so help me here.
Yes, sir.
So I've given you an understanding of what I have, Geoffrey Lloyd, because it isn't just about Geoffrey Lloyd. It's the team at the Ministry
of course,
Education,
yes, sir.
And the Bahamian Society. I said to you that education is everybody's business. Before I say that, I'd just like to invite our people to understand that there is no quick fix to what they perceive as the social lack, educational, economic lack in our society, and I can prove it.
Okay.
I sat with a gentleman who is the Honorary Consul of Germany to the Caribbean. He is resident in Jamaica. He came to visit me.
Okay.
And he asked me to consider a dual education program, and he pointed out that they have a very successful one in Germany, which I visited in 2018. And he said that the dual education program had been a 40-year experiment.
40 years?
40 years.
Wow.
We like to compare ourselves, or at least idolize, Finland. As a premier educational system worldwide.
This is true.
We also look at Singapore.
Mm-hmm.
The Singapore model is a 50-year experiment. The Finnish model is a 45-year experiment. We want to see the same results in 3 years. But here is what the Ministry of Education has done. We have tripled the number of preschoolers that are now enrolled in a quality education program. We have increased by 35% the number of students now enrolled in the University of the Bahamas and the Bahamas Technical Vocational Institute. We have increased by 35%, 15 percentage points, our graduation rate. Upon coming to office, it was 46%. Today, it is 60%.
You know, Minister,
and we have achieved that.
And that is very commendable. I commend you, sir.
Okay.
But I believe, by and large, generally speaking, we're talking about the whole education journey, developmental process since we have become a sovereign nation. Since the establishment of schools. This did not just start 3 years ago under your leadership as the Minister of Education, Science, and Technology. We've been going at this now for almost five decades. And I believe that it is in this light and in this perspective, through this perspective lens, of which persons by and large speak and refer. But I do appreciate all of the wonderful advancement that you just described just now. I really sincerely do.
You know, Finland was a country that had come to an awakening. They had long been in existence before 45 years. I don't know when the awakening has begun for the Bahamian people or when it is. So when was the awakening on the educational platform of our country? I know that I came to office and this administration came to office with a program of transformation. I like to use the word transfiguration. Whatever happened before, God bless. But I know that the platform that we are establishing in education today is the revolution in education, unless some administration turns back. Because moving forward, all preschoolers are going to be in school. You're going to see now unbelievable results in every dimension of educational subjects. Everyone, whether it's literacy, numeracy, and social skills, because I just told you about the study by the IDB.
Understood.
We are talking about technology. The Ministry of Education, the government of the Bahamas, since 1997, have spent tens of millions of dollars trying to, let me use the word,
bring
technology into the education establishment.
Yes.
Millions and millions of dollars. On 2017, what did you have to show for it? Nothing.
Minister, we're pretty much to the end of our show here. Thank you very much, sir. I just want to ask you these last two questions, and they are, where do you believe your job and responsibility ends and a teacher's or an educator's responsibility begins when it comes to the overall success and overall effectiveness of the educational system in the Bahamas?
Our responsibilities are entwined. It's hard for us to accept this because we have so compartmentalized our lives. We believe that that responsibility belongs to the educational system.
Or because of experiences on a national level.
I'm not supposed to be educating my children. Or, you know, it's the government's job to make sure that, you know, they take care of crime or so on. And I'm happy for the pandemic in this sense because you keep hearing it in every country, President of the United States and so on, new President Joseph Biden. We are all in this together.
Well, that part is true, sir.
All in this together. There is no start and end to our involvement, and it is entwined.
Point taken. And Final question, Minister. I know that you can preach a sermon. Final question, Minister. And that is, let us just say that it is the will of the Father. He gave you an opportunity to serve as the Minister of Education, Science, and Technology since 2017. And let's just say that that journey, by chance, might come to an end 2022. What would you say that you would want your legacy to be?
I leave that to the PMN people or to the persons of South Beach or to people like you. I do my very best with what God has given me, and I leave it to you all to determine, judge, whatever that legacy is. You may say that my legacy is, he gave it all he had. He left it all on the table. When I worked at John Canoe, I left it on the table. Worked at Yeast, left it. LDI, left it. Worked on the radio stations or in television, left it on the stations. You determine if you want to or anybody wants to say, well, he was this or he was that. That's not for me to do, and that's really not my ambition. My interest is,
yes, sir,
you give me an assignment, I give you my very best.
Wonderful, insightful conversation here with the Minister of Education, Science, and Technology, the Honorable Jeffrey Lloyd. I am your host, Lady Shima, here on Influencers on Guardian Talk Radio, 96.9 FM. Blessings.
Influencers was brought to you by
7Cs. Start your day the right way. Soya Studios, located in the Flowers Plaza, Carmichael Road West. Carib Construction. Real-Time Sound Studios. And Global Transformation Media, transforming you from the inside out.